97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
One out of it before it gets here. We'll be back. Don't go away.
And look, you look at this agenda she put out. First of all, the free loans, that's unconstitutional. You can't give money away based upon skin color. Unconstitutional. And number two, that's all you think of black men is marijuana. It's just a disgrace that they think of black men this way. Black men care about the same issues that every American cares about. How about you secure the southern border? How about we have an economy where wages adjusted for inflation are actually rising?
I continue to watch the Harris campaign meander through the choices that they're making right now to try to advocate Kamala Harris as the best candidate for the job to be the president of the United States. And they're making facepalm mistake after facepalm mistake. Like, what are you doing? Why do you? And I, the only thing that I can surmise is that when the media had such a grip on the narrative, when the media was able to fill in all the color on a story with support, whether it was the way they covered a story, if they covered a story, all of this, when the media was able to invest so much into driving the narrative of how people felt about any particular thing, you could get away with the absurdity of what Kamala Harris has been doing in this campaign. But it just feels like the narrative-driven, agenda-driven media can't really pull it off the way that they have in the past. And when you take that out, that ability to influence, I mean, I'll go back to what we talked about. I think it was on Friday. We talked about that reporter, his name slips my mind right now, who posted the results of the Kamala Harris interview with Bret Baier, talking about how it got like it was the most viewed interview of the election season. And this person who's a frequenter of, I believe it's MSNBC, is talking, his word that he used to introduce how successful this interview was, booyah. And I thought, well, that's an unironic way to use that word. That's kind of interesting. But they were trying to dunk on the fact that Kamala Harris goes onto Fox News and gets all of these viewers, and that's somehow or another a dunk for the Harris-Walz campaign. It's like, I don't think that word means what you think that it means. Why? Did you see the interview? It did not go well. Watching Kamala Harris come in a very hostile manner, late to the interview, probably intentionally, to try to shorten the amount of time that she had to answer questions and still get credit for showing up and doing the interview. It did not go well. And the more people that see that, I mean, from my side of the aisle, it seems like the better. But when you don't have the ability for people to be greatly influenced by the likes of the MSNBCs of the world, they don't get to get away with such ridiculous pandering and defaming of these candidates that are not on the approved side of the aisle. And I think it really shows how silly a lot of this has been, and without the substance provided by, you know, the color commentary of the narrative driven media. It just kind of sucks. I mean, wouldn't you say, Brad, that Kamala Harris is, I mean, it's an inferior campaign. It's like, what? I'm constantly thinking, like, what are you doing? Every decision she's had to make is a stupid one.
Well, it seems like she's got a group of people there that aren't used to having to actually campaign, because they're used to the media being able to spin up everything that they say. So they say something, but the media actually does the campaigning. I think she was also relying on this campaign or this election season to be a referendum on Donald Trump. Like, maybe we could just call Donald Trump evil.
Turn the page.
Yeah. Maybe we could just call Donald Trump evil and keep the focus on him, and then we don't have to talk about our stuff. And whenever you look at that Bret Baier interview, every time Bret Baier would pin her down with a question that she'd have to answer, she'd be like, come on, Bret, but Donald Trump. Right? Am I right? But Donald Trump. You know what I'm talking about. And he's like, no, I don't. I think what's happening is that, and I think Will Chamberlain talked about this in that first interview, he said that 2020 was kind of an outlier. They got coverage that they wouldn't usually get, and cover, I should say, from the media that they didn't get this time around. So they don't know what to do, because they've never actually had to run a real campaign against somebody.
Well, you can say that Donald Trump is evil and then have the media show a bunch of edited clips that don't give full context or don't tell the whole story of who Donald Trump is and make him seem like he's a bad guy. I mean, good grief. You still again, facepalm, like literally I just facepalm. You still hear Biden and Harris talking about the good people on both sides hoax. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're willing to, in October, peddle in the absolute lie that is Donald Trump said that there were good people on both sides, suggesting that it was like the racist white hoods, there's good people over there, and then there's good people on the other side. It was never, ever, ever. And I've been way ahead of this, pushing back on this for a long time. I have somewhere on X an enormous, like, maxed out the amount of tweets you can put in a thread of evidence that Donald Trump, A, is not racist, and B, what you've been told is a lie about his approach towards that. They've gotten so much runway out of the racist label, but I would say, like, now, at this point in the election, I don't know, Ethan, if you're have you seen anything lately? I don't see the, like, racist label. It's not really part of the conversation right now to Donald Trump.
I mean, I think that Kamala's campaign is still trying to push that. But are you talking about beyond or among the, like, mass general public? Is that what you're talking
about? I feel like it's part of the main conversation.
Well, I think that when you look at the approach of the two campaigns, you could argue that if Kamala went about it in the same way that Donald Trump has, that she's probably doing just as good, if not better. But I think that this has been a time period where people have really caught on to Kamala, kind of like Brad said, being very much so aided by the mainstream media in a lot of ways. Trump has had to really work hard to work past that and work over that and defeat some of the stereotypes that have been created by the mainstream media. I don't know if I would say that is entirely gone, per se, the racist narrative that everyone's trying to push along, but I do think that the mass general public is starting to see what Trump is doing in a lot of different areas. The amount of work he's doing speaking and just being willing to talk to anyone. I think that people are seeing that there's a true care and desire for the country. I mean, why would he be running for president, like, for selfish ambition? He is he is unbelievably rich. I mean, there's not a lot that he gains out of becoming the president. He's already done it once. Like, what for him personally does he accomplish? I mean, he has donated his first term. He donated all 4 years of his salary, not that he needed it, but I mean, it just goes to show that it's not about the money. It's about taking care of the American people and knowing that I guess the only thing would be the pride that he thinks he could do it better than anyone else.
Do you think that Donald Trump is a good man?
I think that he has shown, I mean, it's so hard, like, for us as people to define what is good and what is not.
I think he's a good man.
I think that he's done a lot of good things. He's also done a lot of bad things, as has every single human being on the face of the earth. So, I mean, it gets a little bit dicey trying to, like, put it into one thing. Like, I think you could ask the same thing about everyone in this room. Like, are you a bad person because you, like, do bad things when you do good things as well? Like, I mean, like, it's not as simple as just one thing or the other. I think Donald Trump has done a lot of good for the country. I think he is been very generous with his money as well, when he has a lot of it. So, yeah, I think it is fair to argue that he is a good person. I mean, like I said, the amount of money that he has donated, it's clearly not been about any personal gain, in my opinion. It's been about the American people. I think that that's a very fair thing to say, that he's a good person based off of that.
You know, when you think about is Donald Trump a good person? This is something that I was talking about, I think it was last week or whatever, but the idea that Donald Trump has had billions of dollars spent on trying to make you think that he's a certain type of person, like, you could spend 1/1,000,000,000th of that amount of money and make people think the same thing about me, about you, about anybody. If you wanted to have a targeted character assassination effort on trying to make sure that everybody understood Donald Trump to be this particular type of person. That's what they've done. And again, going back to the media, that being my original point here, that if the media is willing to go along and subsidize that effort to destroy Donald Trump's character, there's not a whole lot that you can do to check that. Because you can, on the other side of the media, you can do like a pro-Trump type of a thing, which a lot of people would assume that Fox News is doing. But then it just becomes partisan. Then the whole apparatus of a free and fair press that is out there to advocate for the American people under the First Amendment to make sure that they have the right to challenge authority and to get to the bottom of whatever the situation is, to expose the truth. And the truth isn't partisan. It just is. You can have pundits. You can have people like me who come on and say the truth is this, and then I can tell you what I think about it. We have people in the media who have actively participated in manipulation of truth, of hiding truth from you, of taking truth and bastardizing it into some version of something that they share with you, because the only thing that they're invested in is the end game of how you think about somebody. It's interesting to me that the only thing that I think that could have combated the completely compromised press in this country is an absolute failure of what the alternative is that they have to offer to us. So, okay, fine. Donald Trump got, I think, 8 million more votes in 2020 than he got in 2016. Think about getting 8 million more votes when you have 96% negative press coverage. That's kind of crazy that that's the case, that he's able to increase his support in the midst of 96% negative coverage. And America shows up in full force and says, no, we'd prefer Joe Biden instead. And then we get Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for 4 years. And people are like, this freaking sucks. I don't want this at all. What's the alternative? That guy? That guy is back and he's the alternative. And then you sit back in your chair and you go, it was better when Donald Trump was in office. And then if you are like internally, like from your gut, wanting to have something be a change, and people are saying this is a change election, if you have that visceral response to, before you're even considering what the alternative is, going, I can't afford any more of Kamala Harris being in the Oval Office, even as vice president, I can't afford it. And you pivot to Trump, you're like, can I stomach this? Can I put myself through what I need to put myself through to support the alternative? And then people start asking questions. People weren't willing to ask questions before. You were spoon-fed disgust for Donald Trump. And people are like, well, these last 3.5 years have been disgusting as well. So which is less disgusting? And to a lot of people, they're realizing, gosh, I don't know if I can vote for Trump. I might be able to stomach it. I don't know if I can. But then you're realizing that he's not nearly as disgusting as you were sold on believing. And I think that's why you see so many people who are getting the excitement behind their newfound support for Trump. I hope it materializes. Let's continue this discussion when we come back here. We've got Ethan and Brad. Ryan's taking the day off today. He's with his kiddo, so we are going to welcome him back tomorrow. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Do you approve of Trump's McDonald's stop? Yes or no? Ethan, you are a...
Absolutely.
An absolute... Brad?
I'm a big yes.
Yeah, yes here as well. Bill said the McDonald's stop shows a man who is confident and comfortable with himself. And as Ethan said, it's fun. It was fun, right? Scoot said it's a sports. But wait, that's not this. Scoot said the negative here, thanks for asking, is that it deflects from his profane rant on Saturday in Latrobe. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you know what he's talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
He called Kamala Harris a crap vice president.
Oh, it wasn't. He didn't say crap though.
Yeah.
I detect no lies.
Okay.
She's terrible. She's absolutely terrible. More truth from Donald Trump. Scoot, thanks for reminding us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got polls that have come in, and I'm just reading through some of them right now, and we'll wait to maybe do this again later in the week when Ryan gets back because he geeks out on all of this stuff. I only believe the final poll, and I hope to believe the final poll this year that comes out of this election. I peek at these polls just to see what kind of trends that we have right now. The Electoral College top battlegrounds right now, according to Real Clear polling, has Trump up 1 point at 48.4% to Kamala Harris's 47.4%. 2024 state races. I'll go through a few of these right now. These are aggregates, as I understand it, with real clear polling. Pennsylvania has Trump up 0.8 with 47.9%. North Carolina, very close. Trump up 0.5 at 48.4%. Georgia, Trump is doing a little bit better there, up 1.8. So almost 2 points there, but not quite. So at that point, we've got Donald Trump in the lead in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. If Donald Trump wins those three states, he's going to win the election. If he, as long as he doesn't lose a state that is not listed as a swing state, the combination of those three states, North Carolina, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, all there on the East Coast. We understand Pennsylvania has already said we're not going to have results on election night. Pennsylvania has said that ahead of time. If the vote totals are big enough, then they might change that. They might be able to make a projection in Pennsylvania, but I'm not counting on it at this point in time. I'm hoping that would be the case, but not counting on it. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia are the three states that I hope to see Donald Trump win and win early, because if he wins those early, it's going to be a much more comfortable night and would also be very indicative of what would be to come throughout the course of election night. Let's see here what else we have. So those three, Trump is in the lead. Arizona has a Trump lead at 1.6. So that's a little close. That's close to what Georgia is. Arizona, to me, is a complete and total toss-up. It seems like they are a mess down there. They're the ones who ran out of ballots last election. I know that there are really great people in the Republican Party working in Arizona to shore up some sensibility there, but I'm just not holding my breath. I don't want it to have to come down to Arizona. That's essentially where I am on that. Wisconsin, according to RealClearPolling.com, has Trump up 0.2%, 48% to Harris's 47.8%. Michigan, Trump versus Harris. Trump up 1.2% in Michigan. You wonder how what? Are you shaking your head? No?
No, I'm shocked.
Oh, okay. I was like, what, did I read that wrong?
Wow.
Michigan, you know, does that have to do with the auto workers? Does that have to do with the union workers? What does that have to do? What's materializing there? And we'll get to this conversation here in a minute, but there are Senate races happening in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, and several of these other swing states that could dramatically affect Donald Trump's ability, should he win, and those Republican candidates to win, his ability to govern. Nevada, Trump up 0.8, which is surprising. Usually in the polls that I see, Nevada is the one that usually goes towards Harris. And at the same time, Nevada has some of the most bonkers election laws. So I don't have much confidence there. Arizona and Nevada, I'm not holding my breath there. Michigan, if Michigan goes to Trump, that's to me a very good sign. Nationally, if you look at the averages for the polls that are in right now, Trump versus Harris nationally, Kamala Harris is up 0.9% in the national vote, which means absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter what the national vote is. Hillary Clinton won the national vote. Just ask a Democrat. They will tell you. Donald Trump was the president. Hillary, not the president. It's like, not the mama, not the president. If you know, you know. On the top battlegrounds, Trump versus Harris, Donald Trump has a 0.1 lead, which we talked about a little bit earlier there. The congressional vote, this is interesting as well. If you compare the support the Democrats have versus Republicans in the House of Representatives in Congress, Democrats have a 1-point lead at 47.2% to Republicans 46.2%. So these are all things that I think are important to be looking at more on the terms of trend as opposed to individually, like, okay, this polling average. If you talk to people who look at this stuff for a living, they're going to talk about the crosstabs. They're going to look at who was polled. Is it a +5 Democrat? Whatever. There's all of this super nerdy stuff that you can get bogged down into, and anybody can look at these polls and make what they want out of them. So I'm trying to look at trends. But Trump is trending up in basically every state that matters. I think it's also key to be thinking about the Senate. This is not something that people are talking about as much, because the Senate map, the Senate would be huge. If the converse of what we had last time is if Joe Biden would have won the presidency, and those Georgia seats would have gone to Republicans. Brad, how dramatically different would the last 4 years be if they didn't have a majority? I mean, the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris, the thing that caused inflation to not be reduced. She was the tie vote on that. And she proudly boasts about casting the tie-breaking vote on the Inflation Reduction Act. She doesn't get to do that if they're in the minority.
Yeah, and there's probably a lot more that doesn't go that way, and it might actually force Joe Biden to moderate a little bit in the second half as well, because you would think that the Republicans would have maintained the Senate in the midterm elections as well. There's a ton of the stuff that they just kind of rammed through that they wouldn't have been able to. I think it changes the judiciary and the judicial appointments. Joe Biden doesn't get to appoint his radical judicial appointments that he's been appointing. There's just so much stuff that would have basically put the brakes on in Joe Biden's presidency, which might actually have helped the Democrats in the end, because they wouldn't have been able to push through some of the stuff that they did. Like you said, the Inflation Reduction Act that caused more inflation, that was basically the Green New Deal in disguise. Then if it doesn't go through, then maybe the inflation and the cost of stuff doesn't go up as high, and Joe Biden doesn't have as bad of economic numbers as he does.
I think it's funny to look at the averages on Real Clear polling here, and it says the State of the Union, the President Biden's job approval, he is underwater 15.3 points of people who disapprove of him.
Whoa.
The direction of the country, negative 37 points on saying that we are headed in the wrong direction. That's way underwater, too. And then the national poll is Trump versus Harris. It's Harris by 0.9. So when you're thinking about people being asked the question, like, how do you feel about how it's going? So what do you think? They're like, it's terrible. It sucks. More of the same. Harris for president. It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
But that's another reason why our founding fathers were brilliant in the Electoral College installation. And Tim Walz could sit down and take a civics lesson and understand why, maybe, if he wants Minnesota to matter at all in the future. Some of the polls that exist right now in the Senate races, people are talking about Rick Scott. We talked to Will Chamberlain a little bit earlier on the show at 12:25, and he was saying he went and voted today, and he voted for Rick Scott, said people need to show up and vote for him. That Florida Senate poll, Scott is up plus 3. So he's got 3 points on his Democrat opponent there. In Florida, that's kind of wild to me that it's as close as it is. But here is a Trafalgar group. We've had Robert C.K. Haley on our show many times, and we're grateful for his take on all things politics and polling. And Trafalgar has the Pennsylvania Senate race tied, which is a surge for McCormick. He has not had the wins at his back throughout the course of this campaign, but it seems as though those numbers have been ticking up for him and Casey, the senator there, now tied, according to the Trafalgar group. And an Atlas Intel poll that was taken and delivered a day before the Trafalgar one has McCormick up one. So that's multiple ones that are saying that it's close, that it's, like, in my opinion, in play. And then you'll wait and see what the turnout is. The voter enthusiasm for Donald Trump this weekend in Pennsylvania has been off the charts. Donald Trump showed up at the Pittsburgh Steelers game and the Jets. It was a Steelers-Jets. And you got to love the reaction that people have towards Donald Trump when he shows up to events like this. He tweeted out, I think he put it on, probably on, I don't know, True Social or whatever it was. But there are actual people highlighting the fact that Donald Trump's image that he shared of him as a Pittsburgh Steeler is actually AI. Well, no sugar, Sherlock. He's wearing number 47. He's wearing number 47, looking pretty good and jacked in this Pittsburgh Steelers, I almost said costume, which is actually probably more likely what it is. He looks good in it. And during the Steelers-Jets game, a well-endowed woman ran onto the field with a Trump van sign. And I don't know if people are talking about this part of the situation, but she was in stiletto heels. She deserves the mad respect of women everywhere for running out into grass for Donald Trump in stiletto heels. Did you see the video?
No, I did not see that video. It's pretty awesome.
Boys are going to like it.
It's hilarious.
I'm just saying.
Did you
She needed better footwear and a tighter bra.
Did you see that Antonio Brown was handing out terrible towels before the game that
What's
said
terrible
Trump
towel?
Fans? So you know how at Pittsburgh Steelers games they have the yellow towels that they're waving around everywhere? They call them terrible towels. It's the Steelers fans. It's probably their biggest tradition. And they were handing out terrible towels yesterday that said Trump Vance on them.
It's amazing.
It's fantastic. Here's more non-AI. Donald Trump will be playing for the Yankees. I don't know if he needs... I mean, I don't know. What's a smarter play for him? To be pro-Yankee or pro-Dodger? Probably Yankee.
I think Yankee's more in play. Like, if you're talking California versus New York, definitely New York. And he's probably a Yankees fan.
I don't know. New York has some lawsuits going on against them right now. So, I don't know. You might be a little salty with them.
I just love the internet. I'm so happy that the internet is here. just scrolling on the memes. When you have this Newsweek post, Donald Trump has shared what is likely an AI-generated image on his True Social account, showing him as a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
Newsweek. Newsweek is fighting for you, folks. I mean, give me a break. This is an actual post. I'm reading this from the Newsweek.com website. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump posted what appears to be an AI-generated image of himself as a star NFL player on True Social on October 21st. I don't know. It seems as though we're investigating it. While in Pennsylvania yesterday, the former president not only hosted a campaign rally in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and served French fries at a McDonald's in Bucks County, but he also attended a Steelers-Jets football game. After arriving halfway through the first quarter, are they like trying to disparage him for arriving halfway through the first quarter?
It's very rude. It's unprofessional. And it tells a lot about what his campaign and what his 4 years would be like if
maybe he would
were
be
to
a
win.
Dodgers fan then. Mm-hmm. The former president was welcomed by Trump Steelers fans. Well, it's nice of Newsweek to acknowledge that, who the former president thanked on True Social, and he wrote, "Thank you to the Steelers fans for a great reception tonight. November 5th will be the most important day in the history of our country. MAGA 2024! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation." I'm a believer in, like, one exclamation point is enough. Maybe that's where we disagree, Mr. Trump. Verified photos of the former president at the football game on Sunday night show him in a suite at, how do you say that, Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh, wearing a blue suit and a red tie. However, the image posted on social media depicts Trump on a football field wearing a jersey for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There is no evidence this ever occurred. Newsweek, you're killing me. Why does this appear like this? It's unbelievable.
It's the veins in the arms that got me
that
last
night.
That made
you like, oh, I'm not 100% sure that this is accurate.
It's like, do you think that he runs his own social media?
I think he runs the majority of it. I mean,
you
I would
like. What do you think, like, for Donald Trump to like find AI images? What do you think that process is like? Do you think he tells his team, he's like, I want an AI picture of myself in a Steelers jersey? Like, I'm just wondering. Like, there's no way he actually goes on an AI website and finds that and posts that himself, right?
I would say, that people see things and send them to him.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's like, I'm sharing that.
That makes sense.
I don't think that he's like, guys, I need an AI picture of me in a Steelers uniform. I think someone sends that and he goes, oh, I like that.
His campaign manager's like, hear me out.
Yeah.
What if we put you in a Steelers jersey and we posted it everywhere?
Here is also a picture of Donald Trump just completely in. This is much more likely than the other one. Just he's in a suit. He hasn't changed into, didn't get the Steelers uniform in this meme, but he is running the football. He doesn't look as though he's got it in the breadbasket fully confined, but it's okay because a fully padded crossover between it and Ronald McDonald is blocking for him. So
I don't think he's blocking. I think he's trying to tackle him, and he's right at the end zone line, so that's a dangerous spot. You know, might get
is
a
he playing
safety
for the Chiefs.
I don't know what he's playing for. It's like a McDonald's themed team. It's like the
what is the logo? What's
let's take a look.
What's
I can't tell.
Tim Curry. That's Tim Curry. It's frightening. I don't know what to make of this.
This is a wild... The internet... Twitter's a wild place.
I don't know
place.
If this is a real photo. I don't know if this really happened.
Is this real?
It's hard to tell. I mean, you can't even tell which team Ronald McDonald is playing for.
There's an article, I'm sure, out there from Newsweek somewhere on it.
If not, it's at the editor's desk right now. It's absolutely bizarre. Anyway, the internet is undefeated. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to the results of today's YouTube live chat poll. Have you voted yet? Leave us your thoughts on the issue. Let's see. Doug said, I love Trump's McDonald's pit stop. I immediately recognized all the cars in the drive-thru were screened and the store was otherwise closed. The trolling that it does to Harris's phony campaign is gold. We'll talk about that when we come back. People are like, this event was staged. Well, he didn't just ambush a McDonald's when he's had two attempts on his life that we know of. You know that there have been others that have been foiled before they got that far. And then he's just going to, what, have randos drive up to the drive-thru and be like, hi, Mr. Trump. Come on. Of course it was a campaign stop. What do you think? Annie Fry YouTube channel, go vote in the poll. Did you like it? Glad he did it. We'll find out the results when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. More hard-hitting news from Newsweek, and I just can't get over how ridiculous this stuff is. Newsweek's tweet says, rumors have been circulating on social media that former President Donald Trump's visit to the popular fast food chain was, wait for it, staged.
No.
He's been saying for like maybe a month or more that he was going to go work at a McDonald's.
I actually saw a quote from a McDonald's chef, which I didn't know those were things.
Sure it is.
But it said, like, it was basically him saying he has no idea how difficult making the fries and the food at McDonald's
was
is.
Was it Kamala that said it?
No, it was like a McDonald's chef somewhere. I saw it. I was like, he'll never be able to do it. Like, you guys are way too serious about this.
Well, and also, if he can't do it, then and he's willing to go be in a place where he's willing to bring attention to the fact that these jobs are, you know, jobs. It's work. It's work. That's what this is. That's not really that surprising. Newsweek says, during a campaign stop in key battleground state of Pennsylvania, former President Donald Trump visited McDonald's and learned how to make fries at a branch in Feasterville, Trevose in Bucks County. Feasterville. Is that real? Newsweek is probably looking into that, too. On Sunday, the Republican presidential nominee held an impromptu press conference through the drive-thru's window. Trump, known for his love of fast food, it's like, is that a dig? Unlike the rest of Americans, used the opportunity to attack Harris over claims she never worked at a fast food chain during her college years. The vice president has previously said she worked at a McDonald's as a student at Howard University in Washington. Here's a question. We're doing all of this fact-checking. Donald Trump is working at a McDonald's, so to speak, at this campaign stop. They can't be bothered to fact-check the fact that Kamala Harris did or did not work at a McDonald's. And if she did work at a McDonald's, you could prove that. Her W-2s would prove that alone. She'd be like, here's my W-2. I made $4 an hour working at McDonald's in 1981. I'm making up things just like her. If you could prove that, wouldn't they have proven that by now?
Oh, absolutely. They would have totally. Yeah, it's really important to them, but they can't prove it. And so it's more important to them now that you know that Donald Trump's visit was staged than it is for you to actually look at Kamala Harris's like multiple claims that just aren't true.
However, rumors have been circulating on social media that Trump's visit to McDonald's was staged.
You know, it is true, though, right? That Kamala grew up in a middle-class
family. According to a post on Reddit, a signed letter placed on the storefront by Derek Giacomantonio, the unit's manager, said, we plan to be closed on Sunday, October 20th until 4 p.m. to accommodate a visit at the request of former President Trump and his campaign.
You think corporate McDonald's corporate had anything like?
I think they would have asked him not to do it if they didn't want him to do it. Mm-hmm. The note ended with, quote, I apologize in the inconvenience of closing our restaurant. Sincerely look forward to serving you soon. He is a former president of the United States. If Barack Obama wanted to do this exact same thing, and Barack Obama could have absolutely pulled this off. Barack Obama could go into a McDonald's and be handing fries out the window to very fawning fans of his, and it would be as successful as the Trump event was.
Probably better, because he's so good with people.
He's so good with people. And Trump is as well. And this absolutely could have been something that Obama did on behalf of the Harris-Wallace campaign to go show up at a McDonald's and say, listen, I see you guys. I know this is hard work. I don't know if I'm capable of doing it, but I'm willing to try. And then he goes and does his finger guns thing, and everybody loves him, and it's hard to watch him and be like, gosh, he's a likable dude. Trump did it. And if Barack Obama were in a McDonald's, they would do the same thing for him. He is a former president of the United States. The amount of security that he has, even if his life isn't being threatened in the way that Donald Trump's is, and I don't know that we know that Obama's life isn't being threatened. I know George W. Bush has had threats on his life the entirety of the time that he's been out of office. If Barack Obama went in there and did the same thing, they would close it down, and nobody would even bat an eye at the idea that, of course, you close down a McDonald's for the former president of the United States to be there. Obviously, you do that. The people who were coming through the drive-thru to see Trump to get their french fries, I mean, they pretty much just served french fries. He made french fries. He put them in the thing, and the one, he's like, oh, we're going to fill this one. We're going to overfill this one as much as we possibly can. Look at that. It's so beautiful. And then he puts it, like, the chef, the fry chef or whatever, is in there, and he's like, this is what you do, this is what you do. And Trump's like, good advice. Here's how it's going to go. and like, without disrespecting them, he was respectful to everybody who was in there. He treated them all, I'm sure, in the same way that he talks to the people who are around him when he was in the Oval Office every day. There's no difference in Donald Trump's presence in that as there would be if Obama did the same thing as former presidents. The suggestion that, oh, gasp, it's a campaign stop, it was a photo op. It is an election season. Nobody is pretending it is otherwise. And when Trump says, I've worked at McDonald's 15 minutes longer than Kamala Harris, they're not saying that that's not true because Kamala Harris didn't work there. They're saying it's not true because we don't actually qualify that as work. It's silly. It's ridiculous. And everybody knows it. All right, you want to get to the YouTube? The results? Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Real quick, though, shout out to my boy Quick Rick. Extra salt, please, on the fries. Yeah, put all of the salt on those French fries. Yes. All right, YouTube live chat poll today. Do you approve of Trump's McDonald's stop? 343 votes as I click and poll. 95% saying yes. Close one today.
Nice. 95. 5% of you folks need to just lighten up a little bit. Lighten up and have some fun. I think I would be as interested in seeing how Barack Obama handles that situation. The funny thing is that Kamala Harris would be a bumbling mess in that situation. And as the president of the United States, so don't vote for her. All right, stick around. Mark Reardon's going to pick it up from here on 97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis is home for conservative talk. We love you. Don't go away.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.